Going to take a look now at preventing and treating dental disease. Dr. Lowell Lackritz, our guest, he's been a regular on our program for several years now. It's always fun to have him back to visit about what's going on in our mouths. Certainly, if you have an issue or question, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. Dr. Lackritz, welcome back.
Well, it's nice to be back, Larry.
It's really great to have you. You know, I was thinking last week on Tuesday morning at 8 in the morning, I had a root canal.
Oh.
From 8 to 9. And then and I was on the air with my radio program at 11 o'clock that same day. And really,
just goes to show you how far the technology's come.
Wow, I was amazed because I really had no pain.
Yeah, yeah. There's all kinds of interesting advances been made in the area of root canal therapy over the years. Instrumentation and medications and things of that nature to make it just so much easier.
It was amazing to me. And it was funny because just before we went going on the air, I mentioned to my guest, "Oh, I had a root canal a couple of hours ago," and she looked at me like, "And you're here?"
Yeah, that used to be a really bad characterization of what to have done to your tooth. You know, always had a bad reputation, but no longer.
Well, already we've got a number of callers.
Okay.
So let's just go to the phones here.
Sure enough.
Again, the number 800-642-1234, or you can also email us at talk@wpr.org. And let's turn to Lauren in Madison. Lauren, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I have a question about not having dental insurance. I've heard a lot lately about the importance of good dental care in all different parts of the body. But I'm 57. I've always been told that I had good home care when I did have dental insurance. But in the last 5 years, I haven't. And I have a couple of teeth that are broken. I definitely need some crowns. And I know that I have receding gums. I have had bleeding gums in the past, but I've been taking very, very good care to floss and a couple of days and brush. So I'm just wondering, what can a person without dental care insurance who can't afford to pay for dental care, what's the best thing you can do?
Well, you know, that is an ongoing question that is continuously being asked, and I really don't have a good answer for it. Most dental insurance is provided by employers for their employees. It's not even very easy to get private dental insurance, and the private dental insurance that you can get doesn't really provide an awful lot of coverage. And so for people who have no dental insurance and need extensive or complicated dental care, such as root canals or crowns, mm-hmm. or things that are quite costly, it's really a problem. Although most dental offices today tend to provide payment plans for these types of things, and they can give you payment plans over a period of year or more. Generally, they may be even interest-free, so that you're only paying on the principal amount, and they can set this up to allow you to make payments according to whatever you can afford. Mm-hmm. So that's probably one answer, is to find a dental office that does this sort of thing. There are mm-hmm. several national dental plans available that work with dental offices to finance quality mm-hmm. care in the dental profession.
Okay. So that's probably the best way.
Yeah, unless you can acquire some dental insurance somehow, and it's not easy. And as I said, the coverage is not great. Dental insurance has not progressed very far with regard to the amount of coverage it provides. It's probably not changed much over the last 30 years. When I started in practice, the dental insurance would cover, say, $1,000 or $1,500 worth of dental care per year. At that point in time, dental care was not really very expensive, but the times have changed and the coverage has not really gone up.
Yeah.
So it's still
in that $1,500.
Right. And I talked to a person the other day who had a tooth break on her. She was in California for the winter, and she went to a dentist in California who wanted $6,000 to repair one tooth.
Oh!
You know, of course, that's California. That's a whole different country out there than it is here in the Midwest. But it's still fairly expensive here in the Midwest, and it's really tough for people who do not have adequate coverage or any kind of dental insurance.
All right. Good luck, Lauren. Thank you very much for calling. Mary in Eau Claire, we're on to you now. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'm 45 years old, and I haven't been to a dentist in about 5 years. I've changed jobs and moved around a lot.
Yep.
And so I need to find one. I do have insurance now, and I just, I guess.
One of the lucky few.
Yeah. How do I find one, and what do I say to the dentist since I've been negligent?
Well, you know, if first of all, if you're not having any obvious symptoms of any dental problems, you're probably still pretty safe. But how to find a new dentist? Of course, you can ask friends, neighbors for recommendations. And what I always have recommended is that when you decide eventually on an office to visit, that you call that office and ask for a visit appointment just to see what the office is like. Mm-hmm. And there are certain things you should look for in a dental office. For instance, you should check out their sterilization area. Make sure it has proper sterilization equipment and that it's kept clean and neat and there's not a mess around the the area. Look in their laboratory where they do some of their lab work. Make sure that's clean and neat and not all messed up, because an office that prides itself on neatness generally prides itself on the quality of care it gives. And also, see if you can have an interview with the dentist and ask any pertinent questions you might have. Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of experience do you have? When did you graduate school? You know, things of that nature. And there's really no problem to making an appointment like that and checking it out. And if you feel comfortable with that place, then you're probably okay.
One of the things you probably need to check, too, depending on your insurance, sometimes some dental offices will cover a certain kind of insurance but not other types.
Right. There are panels of dentists that work for a particular insurance carrier, for instance, or are authorized to do work for a particular insurance carrier. So you want to make sure that that particular dental office will accept your insurance.
That's probably the first question.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Ask that one first.
You bet.
Thank you.
All You're right. welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. And let's turn to June in Milwaukee. Hi, June.
Hi. I was calling basically in response to your first caller who doesn't have dental insurance. Here in Milwaukee, I know you can go to the dental school at Marquette,
right,
and you have students working on you, but it's a much reduced, I mean, it's almost a nothing cost. And also in Waukesha, there is a free medical and dental clinic at St. Joseph Parish. So perhaps wherever she is, she could look into something like that.
That's right, depending on where she's located. There are several clinics throughout Wisconsin that provide care for lower income and people who don't have insurance or can't afford the care. There's one in Fort Atkinson near Madison. There's another up in the Sauk City area. The Fox River Valley has a couple of clinics, and of course in Milwaukee too. There are free clinics in Milwaukee, and as you suggested, the dental school. Granted, you do have the work is done by students, but they're very closely supervised by very competent dentists who are on the faculty there.
That's a very good dental school.
It's an excellent dental school. They provide excellent care. I graduated from there myself.
That's a good tip. Thank you, June.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate that call. And you can join in, too, at 800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. Let's turn to Steve in Milwaukee. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I was just going to ask you a question on flossing your teeth versus antiseptic mouthwash. You see, I've never flossed in my life, but my gums and my teeth are holding together as far as the dentists are concerned. And I've always used, a mouthwash, antiseptic, 2 to 3 times a day, plus brushing. So I was wondering how strong evidence there is to connote that in, you know.
Well, most of the mouthwashes marketed today are what we call plaque-reducing mouthwashes. They help to reduce and remove plaque from the teeth. They're not 100% effective, but they're certainly much more effective than doing nothing. And between good brushing and using a mouthwash, you're getting some pretty good home care there. Flossing is probably preferred because what it does is it gets between the teeth, which is an area that's very difficult to keep clean. And there are other devices that can be used. There's little what they call floss picks and floss aids that you can get in pharmacies. There's a little device that's like a little toothpick that works quite well. It's made of balsa wood. You can get those at the pharmacy and work those between the teeth, and it cleans those areas that are very difficult to get to. But if you're, like you say, if you're using a mouthwash three times a day and brushing your teeth a couple times a day, you're doing a pretty decent job of it. It's not 100% what we would prefer, but floss would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because I did notice when I started using antiseptic, my gums were getting pretty bad before when I didn't use them versus now, you know.
Right. The antiseptic mouthwashes not only help remove the plaque, but that also clears out some of the harmful bacteria that live in the mouth as well. So
that's right. Thanks.
Right, and I was also wondering about the alcohol concerned, because somebody had said that when you use antiseptic with alcohol, it can lead to cancer, too.
I would recommend a non-alcohol mouthwash. There are several on the market right now that contain no alcohol and are just as effective. Alcohol tends to dry out the tissues and in the mouth and remove the protective coating that's put on the gum tissue in the cheeks and tongue by the saliva. Oh. So it's a good idea to stay off of use a non-alcohol type mouthwash.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Mike in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I went to a Marquette Dental School for some 20 years, and when they had the old building on Wisconsin Avenue.
I remember it well.
Yeah, and I liked it. I think it was excellent care. But then when they built the new building, I think the care went right down the drain.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why. They've cut back on their staff. The staff there is not as good as what was over in the old building. The students have to pay $150,000 to go through that school. And I think that Marquette probably needs the money, so they're going to take students that aren't all that great. And on top of that, they do overkill. So instead of putting in a resin or something, they'll cut large sections of the tooth out to get a nice design, a box or whatever they do. And so I went to a private dentist, and I'm much happier. I'll never go back to Marquette again.
Well, I'm sorry you had that bad experience. Of course, Marquette, like every other institution, has funding problems, and the state of Wisconsin has in the past contributed lots of money to Marquette to maintain the school so that we could have a good supply of dentists here in the state of Wisconsin. And some of that funding has been cut back. So, you know, they have to make adjustments, but, you know, I'm not aware of a substantial decrease in the quality of care that comes out of Marquette. No. You know, I've heard a lot of good
just
things
the opposite.
About it. Yeah, I've heard an awful lot of good things about it, and I'm really sorry you had a bad experience.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Dr. Lowell Lackritz, our guest, as we talk with him about preventing and treating dental disease here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Preventing and treating dental disease today with Dr. Lowell Lackritz of Madison. Larry Mueller here, really pleased to have Dr. Lackritz back and to have you listening in. Give us a call with your questions at 800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. We have many callers online, so let's go to the phones. And Nan in Oshkosh.
Hello.
Hi, Nan. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for having me on. I have a question, and this is partially to get the word out and partially for information. Osteonecrosis, jawbone death, they've been linking it to the use of Fosamax, Boniva, other things of that sort. And a lot of cancer patients, after they've had Arimidex, tamoxifen, et cetera, end up with osteoporosis and are being treated by this. But until 2004 or so, the links weren't made. They say that if you've been on Fosamax, for example, for a long time, that if you ever have to have a tooth pulled, chances are good, like 5%, that you could end up with osteonecrosis, which basically is ulcerations and infections of the jawbone that are not treatable and has severe neuralgia-like pain. Do we know how long you have to be on Fosamax or any of these things before chances are improved for you getting this?
You know, the information I have is that it's so variable from person to person.
Oh.
And the incidence of osteonecrosis following bisphosphonate treatment, which is what is the drug that is in Fosamax and Actinel and some of these others. My information is that it's about 2%. There's a 2% chance that you would have a problem having some sort of dental surgery following a longer-term treatment with these types of anti-bone degeneration drugs. So, you know, the information is accurate and it's there, but the chances of any one individual having a problem is fairly small.
Yeah.
And so basically the medical profession and the dental profession and those involved don't feel that it's appropriate to discontinue the use of these drugs for osteoporosis on the basis of this very small chance that there may be a problem.
Okay.
If there is a problem, it can be fairly serious, but it's much less. I see so little about this in the literature now that it's become sort of like a non-entity because of the small chances.
All right. Nan, thank you very much for calling. Michael in Milwaukee, we're on to you now. Hi, Michael.
Oh, hi, Larry and guest. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Good, good. Yesterday, I could not talk hardly at all because I had broken off a tooth, and the sharp edge on the molar was actually cutting into my tongue every time I would swallow or say a word or eat.
That can happen.
It was just totally miserable. But the thing is, I don't have insurance anymore, so kind of at longer hands to, you know, get some relief on this. So finally I did find some help, but I called the Marquette Dental, and they did not really give me much results. I don't know if you folks are familiar with that. I always thought I could call them if I needed to. So I was wondering, what does a person do if they don't have insurance anymore? What can we do?
Well, the dental school, you have to understand, is a teaching institution, and they're not long on emergency services.
Okay.
Because, you know, you have to have somebody there all the time available, and the students aren't always available in the clinic. So, you know, there are variables as to when you can get in there to get something done. As far as getting a sharp edge of a tooth taken care of, any dental office can handle that for you. And I'm sure that unless it's a very complex problem, to relieve you of the discomfort would probably be very, very reasonable in cost. It could be smoothed off or rounded off or change the position so the raw edge isn't cutting into your tongue. As far as definitive type treatment, that might involve a little more expense. So basically, you know, you could go to a regular dental office and, you know, probably not have to expend a lot of funds to just get some relief from the discomfort.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Michael, for calling. Jeff in Onalaska, on to you now.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling regarding the safety of dental fillings. My wife is in her mid-50s. She's had a number of fillings throughout the years, probably beginning in the 60s through the 90s. And she's read a couple of articles regarding, mercury leaching into your system, and it might be advisable to have old fillings pulled out and replaced. And I'm just wondering what your opinion about that would be.
Well, there is some question about that. The last statistic I saw was that about 47% of dentists in the United States are not doing silver fillings anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They give various reasons for this. A lot of it has been the publicity about the mercury and so forth. However, the research contradicts the necessity of taking out old fillings and replacing them. The general rule that I've always gone by is if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, if you've got an old silver filling that's still functional and doing its job, it's not going to do any harm to you. You don't have to take these old fillings out arbitrarily and replace them with non-metallic materials, which last about 10% as long as a silver filling does. That's the problem. Many of these silver fillings are being replaced with resin-type fillings, plastics, composite resins. And unless those are placed under very, very careful techniques, they don't last as long. They fail quite regularly. I see this all the time. Sometimes within a year or two, these fillings will fail because the technique of placing them has not been followed rigidly. So, you know, it's a controversial thing. It's been had a lot of publicity, but the research shows that there is really no problem to having silver fillings in your teeth. And as I said, 53% of the dentists in the United States are still doing silver fillings. And if there was really something harmful to the silver filling, I don't think that 53% would still be using it.
All right. There you have it. Jeff, thank you very much for calling. You can join in too, by the way. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234 with your dental question. We've got some open lines to get you on pretty fast. John in Milwaukee, it's your turn now. Hi, John.
Oh, hi. And thanks for the program.
Sure.
I wondered if there's any information about what they call artificial enamel. In 2005, there was a article in the journal about a crystalline material that would be able to apply to the teeth, and it's made out of, I'm looking for the term.
Hydroxyapatite?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
And I wondered if there's, developed in Japan somewhere.
Well, you know, there was a little flurry of interest about that back then. And basically, it really never developed to the point where it was practical. And so basically, to replace lost enamel on a tooth, as an example, from a cavity or from a fracture or something of that nature, there are restorative materials that can be used to replace this enamel, both for physical and cosmetic reasons. So, but the use of hydroxyapatite in trying to grow or apply artificial enamel to a tooth really didn't quite make it.
All right. So there you have it, John. Thank you for calling. Liz in Greendale, on to you now. Hi, Liz.
Hello. I was very pleased with Marquette's Dental School. I went in the early 70s, and my work lasted over 30 years. And then with planning to retire and my insurance having, ending, I had a five-year plan with my dentist and had mostly everything replaced. And now, 3 years later, I'm in pain along the gum line, and another dentist told me that I have to have all that work that was just done replaced again. And
that,
so I was just wondering
pretty sad.
What the cause was and if this is what's going on.
Well, you know, it's hard for me to sit here in a studio behind a microphone and tell you what the cause was, is why this stuff failed. But it could be a number of things. Maybe the skill of the dentist was lacking, or something he was using wasn't quite up to standard as far as durability. It's really hard to say. I can't comment on it, but I hear this a lot. And you know, if you were listening before when we were talking about silver fillings, some of these resin fillings, they look really great when they're put in and they function nicely, but they just don't last very long. And I don't know if that's but that's what you had done, was replacing a lot of old silver or other types of fillings.
Yeah, I had
with
gold and silver, and I mean,
this was all replaced with cosmetic type material.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. And that's the unfortunate part about that material, is that it's a terribly meticulous technique to do it right. And
now, do I go back to that dentist, and will he cover it?
I would certainly try. I would certainly try, because you know, you pay a lot of money for this, and it should last longer than 3 years.
Well, yeah, it was my, I didn't want to have to go again.
Right, yeah. Right.
It's supposed to be my end of life.
Yeah, it's a sad situation, but, you know, you might want to maybe go back to Marquette and see if they could, if you can't get satisfaction from the dentist.
I'd
possibly
go back to the dentist first.
I'd go back there first and talk with him. And basically, you know, and if that doesn't work out, at least, you know, go back to the dental school and see if they can help you out.
Yeah. And good luck. Thank you. I'm sorry that that's happened to you, Liz. I appreciate your call. Oh, boy. Matt.
I hate to hear about stuff like that.
Yeah, I do too. Matt in Lodi, it's your turn. Matt, hello.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Just as a comment to the last caller, I have 6 resin fillings in my teeth that are all over 5 years old. And I can definitely tell from one dentist to the other the skill and technique used to put them in. And, so I can definitely agree with that. My questions are, one, I have 2 silver fillings left, and as they fail over time, which I know they will, can I place a gold inlay next to a silver amalgam?
Absolutely. In my opinion, that would be preferable to anything.
Have you heard of any people having a galvanization response, like a shock type effect?
Very rare. Very rare, because usually what happens is there's a layer of surface oxidation that occurs on the surface of a silver filling that tends to eliminate that possibility. Over the years, I placed many, many gold fillings right next to silver fillings, and patients had absolutely no trouble with it at all.
Okay, and one final follow-up. My wife has had one tooth that's had a root canal, and she said recently it's starting to bother her more. And whenever she bites on it, she has pain in it. She went into the dentist, and he took an X-ray and said that it looks fine. I'm baffled as to why you're still having pain. And she's had one implant previously, and she's starting to wonder if she's going to have to go through that process again, or could they have missed something?
Well, generally, a tooth with a root canal that causes discomfort, there is something wrong. It could be a number of things. Primarily, it's usually a fracture or a crack of the tooth. And you can, I would suggest, probably a visit with a root canal specialist known as an endodontist. They are more capable, I think, they work with this type of problem constantly and probably are more tuned into the diagnostic procedures needed to determine what the problem is. So that would be my suggestion, is to check that out. If the tooth is fractured, it could be she'll lose the tooth and may need another implant.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Someone emailed in and wondering about the efficacy of water picks. Are they good?
Yeah, they're okay. Basically, I found over the years that they're really very handy for young people who have braces, because what they do is they'll dislodge food particles and things that get caught in the braces as a therapeutic device. You know, that you can put a little bit of mouthwash in the tank with it and so forth. Mm-hmm. And it's refreshing, and it will help to eliminate a lot of particles of debris. And it's not that great for removing plaque, however.
Yeah.
But they're handy. And, you know, it's not a substitute for good toothbrushing and some dental flossing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's go to Marlene in Twin Lakes next. Hi, Marlene.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering, I was sort of diagnosed with osteokinosis of the jaw, but no infinitive answer. And I was wondering, is it possible, do you think I could go up to Marquette and actually get some kind of an answer, because I have a limited income now because of the cancer, and also I'm retired.
Okay.
So I have no dental insurance, and I was just wondering if they would give me an answer to if I would actually have
it. Well, someone gave you the opinion that you had osteonecrosis?
Yes, because I had a root canal, what
did they suggest doing about it?
They didn't. They just sort of left me kind of like hanging.
You need another opinion.
I need another opinion.
Yes, you do. Okay. I would either consult with an oral surgeon or get up to the dental school and consult with their oral surgery department
I'm looking for the cheapest way out because of my limited income.
Well, you know, basically you're going to go for an opinion. So it's not going to be terribly, terribly expensive. They're going to charge you for the visit, of course. But the dental school would probably be less expensive than a private oral surgeon. But, you know, it's a lot is convenient. How far are you from Milwaukee?
About 45 minutes.
Okay. So, well, you have to weigh that against, you know, the time element, the gasoline you have to spend as to whether to stay locally to with a local oral surgeon in your area. But Marquette would certainly be a certain way of getting an answer for your problem.
Okay. Good luck, Marlene. Thank you for calling. Anne in Rosedale, Minnesota. On to you now. Hi, Anne.
Hi. Hey, is there anything that you can do for reseeding gums that, you know, it has nothing to do with gum disease. It's just probably more a mechanical thing. But especially on my eye teeth, my gums are really receding, and I'm just wondering if there's anything I can do about that.
What do you use for a toothbrush?
I use this when I can find it. I use extra soft. Otherwise, I use soft.
Okay, well, you know, what I found helps to eliminate, not, you can't cure it. Once the gums recede, they don't come back on their own, but you can prevent it from getting any worse. And I found that electric toothbrushes work really well for that because they have very soft bristles, and it's a constant cleaning motion, and you really can't abuse them. Whereas with a toothbrush, a lot of times coming around that corner with the eye teeth, people tend to brush a little more vigorously coming around the corner, and it will recede the gums. So I would suggest getting an electric toothbrush with the soft brush head on it.
Can you just buy those disposable ones?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I just want to tell you one kind of funny thing. My husband uses his water pick turned way down low to clean out the earwax from his ears.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you go to the physician and you've got wax in your ears, they use a syringe and warm water. So, you know, so it works out just fine. As long as you do, yeah, keep it down to the lowest setting, however.
Yeah,
you don't want to blast an eardrum with it.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for calling. Well, you know, along those lines, Vern had called in or emailed in and said he takes care of his broken teeth by filing the edges himself.
Well,
if
he's a handy guy, fine.
So we got, you know, some guys using it for their cleaning their ears.
I've run into that over the years myself.
We've got another email from someone who says, confused about partials and implants. I lost a couple of front teeth due to something. And right now, not sure what to do, whether to go with partials or implants.
Well, a partial denture or a partial replacement for missing teeth is removable. You have to take it out and clean it and so forth, and they're generally not as cosmetically aesthetic.
Yeah.
Implants done by a competent implant dentist who's done a lot of them and knows how to do it correctly really is the way to go. They're much more expensive.
Yeah.
Implants involve a substantial investment as opposed to a removable partial. But the results are far superior from the standpoint of usefulness and cosmetics.
Dave has emailed us, says, wife recently had a bridge failure which spans four teeth. The back anchor tooth had a root canal and then a root amputation. It was about $1,300. The front anchor was described as cracked and compromised. And the question is, what next? I'm very reluctant to pay for four tooth implants at $4,000 a tooth. The front anchor tooth is the fang tooth. Is a retainer the only cheap solution? She does have some sinus problems because of a deviated septum. And so the front anchor tooth also has had a couple of infections at the root, which was treated with penicillin.
Well, you know, once again, sitting here in a dental studio, not having x-rays available or anything like that, it's hard to say. But implants are probably the best solution from the standpoint of long-term usefulness and comfort. They are expensive. $4,000 per implant sounds a little steep. I would certainly get more than one opinion as to what can be done.
Yeah.
Discuss it with an oral surgeon and a competent practitioner who has a lot of implant experience.
Yeah. Somebody wondered if whitening will produce sensitive teeth.
It can in rare occasions, but most of the whitening products today are fairly safe from that problem. It depends a lot on the percentage of whitening ingredient in the gel or whatever they're using that can cause sensitivity. And it, once again, it's an individualized thing. Some people have absolutely no problem with it. Some people have a slight sensitivity, and some people get a more severe sensitivity from the whitening. But it's short-lived. It doesn't last long, and it's perfectly safe as far as the teeth are concerned. It doesn't do any harm.
Well, with that, we're out of time.
Oh, wow. So quick.
the time flew by. I'm sorry we didn't get to everyone. But as always, you'll come back and be with us again.
I will. Absolutely.
Dr. Lowell Lakritz, our guest today, as we talk with him about preventing and treating dental disease. Always lots of issues that come up during the program, and really pleased to have him back. And he'll come back again, and we'll talk some more about what to do about your teeth. That root canal I talked about, I'm still amazed at that, how little pain was involved with my root canal of last week and being able to be on the air 2 hours exactly after the completion of the root canal was quite a little shock. I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to make it, but I did. Well, I tell you what, tomorrow, Scott Craven's back, UW Extension wildlife ecologist. And, of course, as always, he'll be talking about the wonderful world of Wisconsin wildlife. Thanks for listening and stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.